Good morning. You're tuned in to What's Going On with Earl Ingram, where real people, real stories, and real solutions come together. Today, we're shining the spotlight on that incredible movement of faith, unity, and service. The Layman's Conference is right around the corner, and these brothers aren't just gathering to talk. They're stepping up to serve, from feeding families across our neighborhoods to mentoring our youth and building bridges between generations. These men are walking the walk. It's about purpose, leadership, and putting love into action. Stick with us this hour as we hear from the voices behind the mission. This is what's going on, and this is where change begins. Don't miss it airing this week on all streaming platforms. Follow us on civicmedia.us or wherever you follow your podcast. Please like and subscribe as well.
Hello. I'm so excited once again to bring this segment of What's Going On with Earl Ingram to you. I am honored and privileged every time I get an opportunity to have dialogue and conversation about our community. There's so many great things happening in our community, and this vehicle provides the opportunity for that, and today is no different. I have a very special guest. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fantastic. Glad to be alive.
Let's talk a little bit about who Reverend Washington is, a little bit about who you are.
Hey, man, listen, I pastor one of the greatest churches here in Milwaukee. I say that because God's people are always great, and it's a privilege to be able to do so. I'm so excited to be on the Lord's side, and I just like to share him with whoever I can, wherever I can. And so I'm just honored to be out here on today. And I've been with Greater Spring Hill now as their pastor for 13 years. Going strong, we moved to another location that we believe God has planted us there specifically, amen, to be a good service to his community, that folks will see us and know what God looks like and how God loves. And so we're so grateful that God is using us, because all of us have had our journeys and our mistakes, and just to be able to give back is a great privilege and a joy. So I take great pride in pastoring and teaching people and learning about God and sharing Christ with them, because we may not have a house on a hill, we may not be rich and famous, but we do have a Savior, and that's something that all of us can embrace.
So let's talk about the journey. Let's talk about the journey that brought you to where you are today.
Oh my. I started off as a business person. I had my own business for a number of years, and when I began to attend church at Greater Spring Hill, something just drew me there, and I enjoyed it. It was a small church.
So I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to talk about the journey from a young boy to a man that brought you to delivering the word.
Hey, man, thank you, sir. That's a good question, because I was one of those latecomers. I came to Christ when I was 41 years old. I had been doing whatever I wanted to do and thought I had everything going on. I've owned businesses, I've made money, I've traveled. I did just about everything I wanted to do, but there was a vacuum, there was a hole, there was something missing there that nothing, no club, no amount of money, no kind of travel would replace it. And so I began to seek out the Lord. So I've had my shares of ups and downs. I've had my trouble. I wasn't always a good guy. I have to admit, I had my share of troubles.
So you didn't fall down out of heaven?
Oh, no, sir. Not no. By a long shot. Amen. I thank God for his grace in covering me through all of those stupid, dumb years, some of those decisions that I made that I can't go back and reverse. I thank God that he covered me through that time period. And I see that young people today may not get that opportunity to get to that point where they can finally have God reach them. So even though I came at a later point in life, I thank God that he covered me through all the mistakes and all the mishaps.
So how did you get to Milwaukee, Wisconsin?
I actually came to Milwaukee when I was 1 year old. My parents moved here from Gary, Indiana. And if you know anything about Gary, Indiana, that was more like an escape route from Egypt.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And when my father and mother moved here because of the steel industry and the jobs that was here, all of our relatives moved here as well. And we kind of grew up as a tight-knit family. My mother had 8 or 9 sisters and brothers, and they all had plenty of kids. So we grew up as a great community of a family. And I've seen Milwaukee being transformed from a tight-knit, care about your neighbor to everybody for themselves. And it's kind of troubling now what we see. So I had a happy childhood. Didn't have much money. Didn't even know we were broke. But we were happy.
You know, that mirrors my story. I'm a lifelong resident of the city. Born and raised here, and remember Milwaukee at a different time. We know what Milwaukee was. Yes. We know how tightly knit we were as a community. As you watch it today, and the troubles that Milwaukee faces, the black community, you are clearly doing what you can and many others to try to change it. Do you ever get frustrated? As last night, it's a perfect example, 5 people shot. How does that make you feel?
You know, it just makes me feel like there is much work to be done. When I hear about the tragedies that take place, it's no different than any other city across the country. Crime is everywhere, and it just cries out that we really need to let people know the importance of how important life is. Having a relationship with Jesus Christ really let me appreciate how important life is. And so my thoughts in terms of what we see taking place is let's get busy and help grow up the next generation of people, that they understand that violence is now have to be the first option, that there is other options in which to choose from. Because nowadays, it doesn't take much to set things off. But mama and them always told us it takes 2 to tangle. It takes 2 to tangle. So somebody's got to be the bigger person and be able to walk and step aside and walk away from it.
So the reason I think this is an important conversation is the people across civic media, across this state, who'll be listening to this, don't know about our community, don't know about our city. What they hear is about the shootings and those types of things. But what they don't hear about is what's getting ready to take place in this field this morning, and the impact of what it is you and the brothers and sisters that you have with you. Tell us a little bit about what this event is and why.
Well, this is an opportunity for us to reach some people, to let them know that there is still hope. Milwaukee have changed where it was very economical. It was plenty of jobs. And whenever things get tight, everybody started looking out for themselves. And we started depending on ourselves. And one of the worst things we can do is to try to solve all our problems ourselves. We have to be able to have a relationship with God and take it to the Lord in prayer and ask Him for guidance, that we make smart decisions. Everybody's not going to be on the Lord's side, but we want to reach as many as we can, because we believe lives can be saved by the decisions that we make. And most of the decisions we make are emotional. And when we have somebody we can turn to take away some of the pressure and the stress of life, that gives us an opportunity to make better choices. And so we just want to try and reach the community with a vision and a word of hope.
So this is why I think this type of event is so important. Our young people in the city of Milwaukee, sometimes they don't get to go to Summerfest, State Fair. They're clearly not going to Disney World and Disneyland, and not going to be able to take advantage of what so many others in this country are able to do during the summer. They're out of school, people go on vacations. Our young people sometimes never get to leave their communities and their neighborhoods. So this black gathering that you're putting together, feeding people, giving them hope, why is hope so critically important?
Well, hope determines what you're going to do. When you're out of hope, you become desperate. And we just want to let them know that there are people who still care for them. In spite of what they're going through, there are some people who still care. And so I'd love, at my church, I'd fire up the grill in a heartbeat. I know food prices is high, rent's high, everything is high, and people struggle. And if we be able to share just love with them and let them know that they are important, perhaps they won't feel so desperate and feel like they're in a hopeless situation. So these type of gatherings really let the people know that somebody do care about them.
So looking at what's happening today with the politics of the president and the things that are happening, what we know is coming down the road. You and I may have never seen times like getting ready to occur in the next 5-10 years. What are your thoughts about, you know, who outside of pastors and churches, if ever there was a time for the man of God, it's now, because nothing else seems to be working. Do you see an opening more so now than you have in a lot of years, where now the pastors and what they bring, that hope and spiritual faith, can help, you know, kind of give people hope?
Absolutely, because the truth of the matter is, as hard as things are, it has always been hard times. And faith is the one thing that has kept us together and kept us level-headed. There was Jim Crow, there was racism, there was slavery, and our people still persevered and was able to have hope. So in spite of the political situation, because there's always going to be something happening politically, we've already know they're not on our side. They're not trying to do, they say pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, and they don't particularly care. But the one thing you have is your mentality and your heart, and you have to maintain that so that you can make good decisions. So we face hard times now, but our ancestors face hard times, and they made it. And so we just want to encourage people that with the love of God, with Christ in your life, you can still make it through hard times. You can still be an overcomer in spite of what you're going through. In fact, you're more than an overcomer, because most of the Caucasians don't face the kind of issues that we face in the inner city. And for you to be able to handle it and deal with it with integrity and have some kind of dignity about yourself makes you more than an overcomer. So you can still hold your head up high.
So you do this every year?
Yes.
And you chose an area that I'm not familiar with. I didn't know this area existed. But just looking around here, man, the vineyard is right.
Yes. This was really an exodus from the inner city. Most of these people came from hillside and the places that are close to downtown.
Right.
So they moved them out,
yeah,
so that they can move in. That's
yes,
why they're putting up condos and condominiums and real estate is going through the roof in the inner city. So
gentrification, they call it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so this place has been here. But I'm reminded too, and let me not just get too biblical for you, but I remember when the children of Israel was in Egypt, and it said the more they oppressed them, the more they grew, the more they multiplied. And by packing us in, it reminds us that we're not in this struggle alone. So sometimes it's good to be in an environment where things is a little chaotic, where you can understand that, listen, I'm not the only one going through. So you don't take it too personal.
You know, I say this in closing. It is an honor to meet you. Your mission, the men that you have with you, the people you have with you, understand it, but that comes from the top. And so having this opportunity to fellowship with you, if only for a short period of time, I feel connected to you, because I, like you, know that we have to change the trajectory of what's happening in our neighborhoods and in our communities. Can't wait for anybody else to do this. We have to. And today, on this beautiful, beautiful day, you're gonna serve a lot of people who probably not be able to enjoy this kind of fellowship God bless you and Spring Hill Missionary Baptist Church, and I got to come and visit you.
I thank you for having me here today. Thank you for having me on your podcast. I would love to listen to it and get into it in more detail. But I just wanted you to know that I appreciate you being here today and covering this, because you won't see Channel 12 and Channel 6 doing this. They think that the only thing take place in the community is crime. But there are some people who care about souls up in here. And although we don't have silver and gold, we do have some wisdom. We do have a God that we can share them with, and we take pride in being able to do that. So
God
thank you,
bless
sir.
You, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you.